In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm reading from the 26th chapter of Matthew. "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment, and she poured it on his head, and as he sat at meat, and when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much money and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work upon me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me with you. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever hears this gospel, wherever it is preached in the whole world, this shall also be this, that this woman hath done for me, will be a memorial for her." I want you to think about this right now, because there's a lot of speculation about this woman. Some people say she was a woman of the street. Some people say she was not a good woman. Some people say she was a great sinner. Some people identify her with Mary Magdalene. We do not know. But first of all, in the Jewish custom, a woman was not to touch a man like this. This was off limits. And she comes into this house, like she runs into this house, doesn't belong to her, because she's desperate. She is in absolute need to be in the presence of Jesus. And she doesn't care what anybody's thinking. And I'm going to tell you, people will always think when you do things. People will always think, and they will always be thinking evil thoughts. She runs into the house of Simon the leper. And Simon starts to think, if this man were a prophet, would he not know what kind of a woman she is? Dirty mind. Dirty mind. I'm going to tell you about extravagant love now. When you're desperate, when you've got nothing else, when the only thing you have is Jesus, you buy an alabaster box filled with ointment and you break it and you pour it out on Jesus. You pour it out on Jesus. You pour it out on Jesus. You waste everything on Jesus because you know what? You're desperate. You've got nothing else and he's your only hope. And that's what we do with our praises. We pour out our praises on Jesus. We pour out our love upon Jesus. We pour out our adoration upon Jesus. When we're desperate, we have no place else to go. And it's like sweet nard, sweet ointment, extravagant love upon Jesus. Oh, how many pour out their love upon Jesus? How many pour out their love upon Jesus? Oh, I want this and I need that and I can't do without this. And if I can't, please get Uncle Joe a job. But how many spend time pouring out their life upon Jesus, their love upon Jesus, upon their hearts upon Jesus, their brokenness upon Jesus, offering their bodies as a living sacrifice to Jesus? Like, come on. Extravagant love means I pour myself out on him. I pour my guts out, my heart out, my brokenness out, my sins out, my joy out. I pour it all out on Jesus.
But you know what? We don't do that. We make Jesus like a slot machine. Put the nickel in, a quarter in, or a dollar in, and you're going to get your prayer answered. No. This woman knew what love was about. Maybe she was a sinner. But you know what? She knew where to go with her sin to Jesus. Do you know where to go with your sin? Do you know where to go with your sin? Or are you into guilt and torment? This woman wasn't going to be into guilt and torment anymore. She knew where to go with her sin. She ran to Jesus. Do you know where to go? Do you know where to go? At one time, the church knew where to go. They would go to confession. At one time, the confessionals were full. No more. They go to Oprah now, and they tell their sins to the world. And no absolution, no forgiveness. Everybody knows all their garbage. Isn't that beautiful? I don't think so. But this woman poured out her soul upon Jesus, her sins upon Jesus. The scripture in another place said she wiped his feet with her hair. If she was a sinner, let's think of the things that this kind of a woman, a prostitute, would use, okay? A hair. The hair to allure the men. The perfume to draw them in. The sweet words to get money. But now her hair is used not to allure men, but to dry the feet of Jesus. The perfume is called My Sin. She's pouring it out on Jesus. The words are words of love. Tears of contrition. This is the woman that Jesus says when the gospel is proclaimed, what she did would be proclaimed to the world. And today I am fulfilling that prophetic word that Jesus gave. We're hearing about this woman. Where do you go with your sin? Where do you go with your sin? It's a very good question. To the barroom? To the drug dealer? Are you a sex addict? Where do you go with your sin? She ran to Jesus. She ran into a house that didn't even belong to her because she knew he was there and she didn't care what people thought. She lavished her love on Jesus. Who do you lavish your love on? Like, where do you lavish, pour out your love on? Who? I tell you, this woman can teach us an awful lot. Your praises can be perfume. Your praises, I worship you, I praise you, I bless you, can be perfume that's lavished on the feet of Jesus. You're praying in the Spirit. Can be perfume lavished upon Jesus. Your care for the poor can be perfume lavished upon Jesus. For as often as you do this to the least of my friends, you do it to me. Like, where do you go with your sins? Where do you go? I'll tell you, the confessionals are not filled anymore. I'll tell you, people don't sin anymore. That's what they say. I don't sin. Isn't that wonderful that you don't sin? That means you are such a saint that you are changing the world. Isn't that wonderful? You arrogant, proud person, you. Because the scripture says, if you say you don't sin, you make God a liar. You arrogant, proud person, you don't sin. I will tell you, with me, you can say this. I sin, but many times I don't even know my sins.
Many times I don't even know my sins. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. You see, we've been told lies. We've been told lies. That we just have to be nice to people. Be good. Rather than, you know what, we're called to give our life to Jesus. We're called to be an oblation. Do you know what an oblation is? A sacrifice to Jesus. We're called to pour out our being upon Jesus. How many people who go to Mass on Sunday are pouring out their beings on Jesus? Come on. Let's be truthful. How many people that are going, how many priests that are celebrating Mass are pouring out their love upon Jesus? Mass is 25 minutes on a Sunday, 38 minutes. What love is that? What love is that? That's not love. That's not love. That's not love. And then they'll go watch the soccer game for about 8 hours. That's not love. Do you understand that? When you love someone, you're with them. When you love someone, you want to be with them. When you love someone, you want to stay with them. When you love someone, you want to talk to them. You want to listen. You want to tell them what hurts you, what pains you, what you're upset about, what you love, what you don't love. How many love Jesus? He is little loved. As I said the other day, John the Baptist said, the one in your midst you do not even recognize. He is greater than I. You know, he's in our midst and we still don't recognize him. He's in our midst and we don't recognize him. Think about it. Think about what the Catholic Church teaches, and this is real, that Jesus is present as Eucharist, totally present as he is in heaven, and we lock our doors. We lock our doors and we say, we believe Jesus is present as Eucharist. Give me a break. If Jesus is present, then we open our doors and we invite people to come in. And if we want to make safety precautions, we make safety precautions. And if nobody comes in, at least we invite people to come in. Our church is open all day. People sneak in that church and they start weeping. They start crying. They start singing. If I've done anything right in my life, I've opened a church. If I've done anything right in my life, I've brought people to Jesus. But you see, we say we love him, but we don't love him. At least if we admit we don't love him, we can change. You know, I want to love him more. My heart is divided. I don't know about your heart. My heart's divided. I've got a divided heart. And only Jesus can fix it. He's the heart specialist, the cardiologist, I'll tell you. My heart is divided. It is not completely centered upon Jesus. If I told you I was just completely centered upon Jesus, I'd lie to you. My heart is divided. But I don't want it to be divided. I don't want my heart divided. I want my heart to be totally sold out to him. It said yesterday in Isaiah's reading that in the night my heart longs for you. Do you wake up in the middle of the night longing for Jesus? I don't. I don't. In the night, my heart longs for you. I want that to be, at least I heard that word yesterday, and I said, Lord, I don't wake up in the middle of the night longing for you. Help me to do that. Help me to do that. That when I wake up, I say, Jesus, I love you. Oh, the Word of God will cut you right to the core. The Word of God will cut you right to the core. Do you understand that? The word of God will cut you, you know, right to the core, because it's God's holy word. Get away from these apparitions and get into the word of God. I don't know if you've seen the book of Eli. The book of Eli. It's something everyone should see. The book of Eli. I'm not going to tell you what it's about. It's something everyone should see. It takes place after the Holocaust, of the bombs went off and people died and civilization was gone. The book of Eli. You know, we don't know what we have until it's gone. Do you realize that? We don't know what we have until it's gone. You have two good legs, right? Isn't that wonderful? Sprain one of them. Break one of them, and then you realize what you had. You had two good legs. Now you can't use your two good legs, and you realize, my Lord, I took that all for granted, that I could walk, and there was no problem. Now that I've got a broken leg, a sprained leg, I can't walk. You realize what you have when it's gone. Why do we have to wait for something to be gone in order to realize that it's good? Only because we're sinners? We realize that we have churches that we can go to worship in, and we don't go do it. Wait till they take them away from us. You know, this makes me really laugh, because I'm going to tell you a story. A lot of people in these churches that they're doing vigil in, that they're going to close, many of the people never went to church. Only they began to go to church when the church closed and they started keeping vigil. They were never there on a Sunday. They weren't the people, many of them, that were there on a Sunday. Isn't that stupid? That's stupid. I tell you, not because I'm here, but I will probably be the last priest at Holy Rosary. It's a small parish. People will only realize what they had, not in me, but in a priest, when I'm gone. Not because of me, but because what the priest does and who the priest is. We only appreciate things when it's gone. Why don't we start now appreciating, praising Him who is the Lord? Why don't we start now? Let's not forget that this woman's name will be recorded in the book of life, and what she did will be told to every generation. What about you? How big are your troubles today? Are they bigger than the mountains? Then your praise should be bigger than the mountains. How big are your problems economically? Bigger than the mountains, then your praise should be bigger than the mountains. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I praise you. I bless you. I worship you. I want to pour out my oil, the oil of love, on your feet, on your head. I worship you. I praise you. I bless you. I honor you. I surrender my life to you. My blood is yours. My heart is yours. My being is yours. All that I am is yours. My DNA is yours. I give you my mind, my heart. Everything belongs to you. My money, my property, my family. I surrender all to you. I want to be an oblation. How many people can Jesus depend upon today that are listening to me? So interesting. You know, he can't depend upon everybody, kids. Many of them would just sell him up the river. How many people could Jesus Christ depend upon today? Could he depend upon you? Could he depend upon me? Could he depend upon your pastor? Could he depend upon your bishop? Could he depend upon me, you, us? How many could he depend upon? If the Lord told us, I want praise rather than sacrifice, I want worship, how many could he depend upon? I don't think very many.
This woman is an example of love, sacrificial love, poured out love. And you know what? Today is the Feast of Mount Carmel. And there are women throughout the world that have devoted their life pouring out their love upon Jesus Christ. Pouring out their love upon Jesus Christ. Behind the walls. Pouring out their love upon Jesus Christ. And you know what? It's not always easy. Sometimes there's no light at all. Sometimes there's no feeling at all. Sometimes there's only pain in their hearts. And blessed be God for the ones who continue to worship him. In quiet, in solitude for the church. The church would have gone down the drink a long time ago if it wasn't for these women that have worshipped and praised God in the midst of all the struggles that we go through. We think the men are the great things in the church. The men are useless as compared to the women. The women are those who stuck close to Jesus. They stuck close to the crucified. They stuck close to the risen one. The men were nowhere to be found, and it's still like that today. The men are nowhere to be found as compared to the women. You know, when Ignatius of Loyola started his order, they said that he was having bad relations with women. He was sexually having sexual misconduct. He wasn't. You know why? Because only the women wanted to grow spiritually, not the men. He had all these women that wanted to grow in the Holy Spirit, not the men. Well, you know what? It's time for men to start being men and worshiping God. It's time for men to start praising God. It's time for men to start raising the banner of love for Jesus. Go to church and see in 20 years where the church is going to be in Boston. If the Holy Ghost doesn't do something. I'm not being a pessimist. I'm just saying the truth. Go to church, any church, and see where the church will be in 20 years if the Spirit of God doesn't move. You think we have few churches now? You have no idea. But let me tell you, this week we're going to be worshiping God at the Holy Rosary. We're going to be worshiping God at our Revival Glory. We're going to be worshiping God. We're going to be like this woman that's going to praise him and sing worship songs and pour out oil on his feet, on his head. If nothing else happens, we're going to spend time in worship. If nothing else happens, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. This Sunday starts at 7 o'clock if you'd like to come. Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 10 o'clock in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. And then 7 to 11, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Listen, I'm telling you, we're desperate. I'm desperate for God to do something. I'm desperate for God to do something. You want to know why? Because very little is happening. We're getting calls from all over the United States who want to come to this service that we're having. You know why? Because people are so dry. But Jesus said, let the man who thirsts come to me and drink. For out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Only God can do something, you know. We can't do anything, but we can praise him. We can worship him. We can adore him. We saw 2 years ago when we were praising God for 40 days and 40 nights. God did it. It wasn't my idea. How the power of God came. How the power of God came. So
So you're welcome to come if you'd like. Sunday night is the 18th of July, 7 to 11. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we have a morning session from 10 to 2 in the afternoon and from 7 to 11 in the evening. You're welcome to come. We're going to spend time praising God and ministering to people. That's what it's going to be about. Praising God and ministering to people. Praising God and 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 praising God. And what does Jesus say? For you will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. For in that which she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. And I say to you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, this shall also this, that this woman hath done, shall be a memorial of her. We still remember her. Because she poured out her love upon Jesus. What about you? And what about me? Tonight we'll have Mass at 7:30 at the Holy Rosary, and you're welcome to come. We have Holy Mass at 7:30, and you're welcome to come. And after Mass, we have Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament all night long, and you are welcome to come to that too. I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We are $16,000 in the hole, and I know that the Lord will provide because He's God and He's worthy of our praise. I thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. And, O Lord God, make me much more grateful. And let me also tell you about Jimmy the Roofer. Jimmy the what? You can meet him at our service. He'll be there. He'll be there. And he can even show you the pictures. I tell you, what he does is like he buys your material. You pay for the material. He doesn't overcharge the material. It's just what he pays for. And then he charges you what he pays for the material. I'm telling you, some other places charge four times, five times more. I tell him, Jimmy, you're foolish. His telephone number is this, 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.